Hello and welcome to another Thursday Manna podcast. I'm Pastor Jeff Glenn, and it's my pleasure to take you through the Bible each week. We are cruising through Genesis, and today we're going to be in Genesis chapter 28. So as always, make sure you take a few minutes to read through this chapter. The further we get into Genesis, the more important it is to be able to have this reading under our belt, or if you want to use a more biblical metaphor, to have our sword sharpened, so that we're bringing what we've read over the past couple of weeks into what we're reading today for context. And today, there's several interesting sub-themes that are developing here. And the first and foremost, which is continuing from the beginning, is God's promise to resolve the enmity between him and humanity, which is brought about by our sin and the tempting of the devil. So that's numero uno that we see that we're always constantly looking for in the scripture that we're reading. And then we have the promise to bring about that means, right? Meaning, how is God going to bring about that promise to resolve the enmity, which is through blessing Abraham and his descendants, so that the one who would bruise Satan's head would come through his genealogy. And so today we'll see some clever storytelling, and it's arguably not a major theme, but nonetheless, it's something to pay attention to because it's here, and it will help us remember what we're reading. And so today we see this contrast between Esau's sight and Isaac's blindness from chapter 27. And then we see a twist to that idea as well. And so from chapter 27, we know that Esau had his birthright taken from him in this deceitful manner when Isaac was too blind to notice that Jacob was imitating his brother. And so chapter 28 opens in the aftermath of this deception, with Isaac sending Jacob away, partially to get him out of Dodge, because Esau was so mad at him that he vowed to kill him, but also he sends him away to get him a wife from Isaac's homeland, because he wanted a wife for him who was not a Canaanite, which is very important to our story and to the promise of God. And so as Jacob is on his way to begin his journey, we see a couple of interesting passages that tell us about Esau's sight. And so we see this in verse 6, which is the blessing of Jacob. And it reads, Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take himself a wife from there, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. And it continues, and that Jacob had obeyed his father and his mother and had gone to Padan Aram. And then it brings us to our second vision passage here in verse 8, where it says, and Esau saw that the daughters of Canaan did not please his father Isaac. And so in the first, we see in this blessing that's talked about here, when Esau saw that Jacob had been blessed, when we read in here the blessing in verse 3 and 4, it reads, may God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be an assembly of peoples, and give you the blessing of Abraham to you and your descendants with you, that you may inherit the land in which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham. And so we see another throwback allusion here, or allusion to Babel, right? So Babel resulted in the scattering of people. And now in this blessing, we see an assembly of people. We see a gathering of people, a blessing, you know, from the promise that all nations would be blessed. And so we'll see that blessing continue here. And then in this part where Esau saw that the daughters of Canaan did not please his father Isaac in verse 8. So this is kind of where we see the twist. Although Isaac saw that it was not pleasing to his father, Esau didn't see that it wasn't so much that it was bad, that it didn't please his father, but that it didn't please God. We think of Colossians 3:23, where it reads, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to men, or as to the Lord, and not to men." And so we're not to be men pleasers. And so Esau had a hard time seeing what God had for him, right? He saw that it was a displeasure to his father to have Canaanite women as wives for his sons, but he missed that Ishmael was rejected and that the promise couldn't come through his genealogy, because we read here that we know from previously Esau had taken Canaanite wives, and it was a strife and bitterness to Rebekah, his mom, and to Isaac, his dad. And so now he's somehow trying to remedy that, maybe, but he misses the point, because he goes, and we see in verse 9, "So Esau went to Ishmael and took Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael's Abraham's son, the sister of Nebajoth, and his wife, in addition to the wives that he had." So he goes to Ishmael's side of the family to go and try to find a wife, because they're not Canaanite. But it isn't just that they weren't Canaanite, it was that the promise couldn't come through Ishmael because he was rejected. He wasn't the promise-bearing son. He wasn't the son of promise. And so Esau missed that it was about pleasing God. And so regarding our parents is a wonderful thing, but if we fail to regard first God, right, then it's still pleasing men. And so that's where Isaac or Esau, he couldn't see that, and he still kind of missed the mark there in taking wives for himself. He also missed the pattern of one wife completely as well. So this is at least now his fourth and maybe fifth wife or more. And so he's continuing to collect wives, but that's beyond today's study. So both Isaac's blessing to Jacob and then later Jacob's dream. So we continue here is after this issue of Esau marrying descendant women of Ishmael, that Jacob goes into the land of his father's forefathers and he has a dream. And we see this is Jacob's latter dream here, which is in verses 12 through 15, and we'll read those. "Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached the heaven, and there were angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land which you lie, I will give you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So there's that promise at the end. So again, we see another contrast with Babel here, because the tower was meant for man's attempt to reaching God. But here we see the ladder showing that this divine pathway is designed and is executed and is maintained by the Lord. It's something that's instituted by the Lord, not through man's effort. And so another learning here that Jacob was able to see. And so he was able to see this when he awoke from this dream or from this vision of the Lord. He seeks to memorialize this event in how he goes about setting up the rock that he used for his head. And so in verse 18, "Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head, set it up as a pillar, and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of the city had previously been called Luz. And Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and keep me in the way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and put clothing on me, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And all that you have given me, I surely will give a tenth to you." And so when he changes the name of Luz to Bethel, which means the house of the Lord, and does the setting up of the pillar stone and pouring of the oil, this is Jacob memorializing what he's witnessed in God's sovereignty and providence for him, and then even in recognizing this blessing of him being able to return to his father's house at some point in the future. Because remember, he's left kind of at the threat of death from Esau, but also on this journey of finding a wife in his father's homeland. And so this is a great encouragement for us to look for the Lord in all things and then to respond to his goodness. And so until next time, stay encouraged and stay in the Word.